Ready to talk retirement? You're in the right place. Join Veronica Redfield for the Retirement Roundtable, your go-to source for navigating the ups and downs of retirement planning. We'll break down those tricky financial topics, share actionable tips, and explore ways to make your retirement dreams a reality. So grab a seat. It's time for the Retirement Roundtable.
Welcome to the Retirement Roundtable. I'm Grant, and with me is Veronica with Retirement Resource. And our co-host, as always, Jacqueline. How are you doing, Jacqueline?
I'm pretty good. I am just watching Veronica right now, absolutely giggle and squirm in her chair, trying to make Grant mess up. But Grant, you powered through and you did it.
You did a great job.
Yep. Distractions don't affect my ability to get our intro in.
Pretty sure that's a crock, but that's okay.
I think the other way around. When Veronica tries to enter it, sometimes it takes a couple times.
It does, because your face is just funny. You don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to try.
Or when you look at the screen, then you see me making fun of Grant. And it's just, that's how it always goes. Someone's always making fun of another person here.
That was last week. I saw you trying to get him, and I'm like, nope, not looking, because otherwise I was going to fall into that trap too.
Well, how are you guys?
Good. It's fall all of a sudden. It was like 80 on Saturday. We went to the pumpkin patch. Like, it was hot, no breeze. And then we went to a playground on Sunday with other friends and it was cold. Like, what the heck?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's the crisp fall air in the morning. I do love, but I like it to warm up during the day and it's just not doing that anymore. So if we could keep the cold, crispy air in the morning and then go to, 70s at least, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Nice sweatshirt weather. I love that, especially because my dogs like to be out in the cold. So I just don't want it too cold, but I did buy a heated vest for this winter. So we'll see if I have to use it. Yes. Actually, I bought it last year and never used it. Ask my husband about that. He's like, why did you buy it and not use it? I'm like, oh, well, eventually.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that because that is an investment, but I'm all for it. So yes. Let me know how that goes.
We have several pictures of Echo sitting outside in the snow and we're like, come in. And he's like, no, I'm going to sit here. He lays in the snow and just doesn't move.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, Grant, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for the days where it does not get above 32 degrees.
You're crazy.
Hopefully that's in like 3 weeks, but
I think there's something wrong with you, really.
No, ice fishing.
I mean, okay, fine.
Ice to be made.
Okay, but how about like hunting season? Do you really want to be sitting outside in the freezing cold?
If it's like 25 degrees, perfect.
No, yes. That's cold.
You get a nice frost on the ground. You can hear the deer coming. Mm. It's pretty. It's beautiful.
I mean, you're probably not wrong, but you're probably really wrong at the same time. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
no, I think so. Then once you have that cold snap, the deer start moving. They get in rut. I'm not going to go in depth with that, but
I was almost going to say, what does that mean? But yeah, this is probably the wrong time to talk about the rut.
Yeah. So that's coming up soon too. So the colder the weather sometimes induces that rut to be better.
Okay.
Oh. And then it gives you, because the deer don't care about you in the stand then.
No.
Oh, they're worried about chase and tail. But what I did last weekend, I had another wedding. So,
wow.
A lot of weddings.
Are you keeping track of all these, like making a list of, your weekends and all the things that you're doing and all the weddings that you're going to?
No, I don't keep a list.
You should.
It's in my brain.
He looks forward at what he's got to do, but.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be pretty fun to look back at, though.
At like the previous 8 weeks?
I guess. Or
I
like when when you have your wedding, then you can be like, oh, well. After 20 weddings that we've gone to, I think we finally nailed it for ours. Or something
I was just
like
gonna
that.
Say, he gets all the tips of what to do and what not to do with all of these.
Mm-hmm. I've learned some pretty good ones too, actually.
Which is good.
Yeah. So actually, okay, I'm not gonna take too long here. But the wedding that we were at last weekend, it was Catholic wedding, but it was like a hybrid. 35 minutes.
How does that work?
Done. I don't know. Good question. But Aubrey's like, I'm on board with that. Let's do that.
Can you do that though? I thought you can't do it because of the day of yours.
That's our question to our priest. Can we do that?
That would be great. I vote that.
Okay. So we got one voter.
We got one voter.
Aubrey's two, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, Aubrey really counts. So I think.
I think I'm so excited now to like see other people's weddings and then to like look at ours. Ours is going to be so much better.
I mean, it's yours. So it could go all wrong and it will still be better because it's yours.
Oh, I know. I'm just like, I'm excited.
It'll be great.
Got the speech ready. I can only have a couple beers before the wedding.
Serious?
Like, yep.
I mean, that's a good idea, but you have the speech ready already?
The speech? Did I say speech?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got a speech for the groom's supper.
Already?
No.
Didn't he just say he had that?
I'm confused too. I kind of lost it. I think you just said
you have the speech ready. I think I used the
wrong choice of words.
Yeah, I think you did. Okay, how about we sidetrack that? Grant, what are we talking about today? Let's get on track.
Okay, we're jumping right in. RMDs.
What is an RMD?
A required minimum distribution.
What does that mean?
How far in depth do you want me to go?
Well, we want it to be easy enough that the listeners understand, but deep enough so it maybe clicks when they actually have to do it.
Okay, let me first ask this. Jacqueline, do you know what an RMD is?
A required minimum distribution?
Did you Google? No, okay.
I know that, but it's for retirees and there's a certain age, right? And it has taxes.
You know, that's not bad. I'd say that's about 75% right.
I think that's how a typical person would probably answer it. All of the things you just said, and we just can put them together to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So required minimum distribution. So I think the first thing you got to look at is when you're born. Mm-hmm. So they made a few changes in the last couple of years of when your RMD actually affects you. So people born before July 1st, 1949, they have an RMD age of 70.5. And then individuals that were born between July 1st, 1949 and 1950, their age got increased to 72. And then anyone born between 1951 and 1959, their RMD is age 73. And then anyone born after 1960 or later now has age 75 as their RMD.
Yes. And so what
accounts have RMDs? You know, depending on the tax type, a IRA is going to have an RMD, a 401k is going to have an RMD. So essentially any type of investment that is pre-tax contributions is going to have an RMD. And now you're probably thinking, okay, why do they implement this RMD? Veronica, give me your shot at why they implement the RMD.
Well, it's obvious. They let you save on taxes in your working year. So now they're going to make you pay taxes. And the thing to watch about these, and this is why it's really important and to kind of go back to the age, like Grant was saying, is like in 2020 is when they shifted all these ages and it just kind of the SECURE Act 2.0, you know, so you have to kind of pay attention because who knows if they're going to shift it again in something that's already kind of confusing. If they keep changing it, you have to stay up with that. And that's what we do here. But yeah, the point of the RMD, required minimum distribution, they say that you didn't have to pay taxes on this money while you're working, you're saving. So basically when your age of RMD starts, there's a factor and your previous year end balance, they use that in the equation and they say you have to take this much. And the goal is to have your entire retirement, your pre-tax account spent by life expectancy. You know, so if your accounts, we say if they maintain or grow, that factor is going to get larger from that, as well as the factor gets larger in the math equation of every year. Grant, what happens if you don't satisfy your RMD in any given year when you're required to?
Well, there could be a penalty on the amount that you were supposed to withdraw. And I believe it's 25%.
That is correct.
On the amount that you're supposed to take on top of. Is it the taxes as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So it used to be 50%, but that was one of the things the SECURE Act also changed. So now it's 25%. But the thing to think about is if you have a $10,000 RMD, let's say you forgot about it, right? You didn't take it. Let's assume you're in the 25% tax bracket. So this $10,000 distribution that you did not take, you're going to get a 25% penalty, as well as you're going to pay 25% to taxes on this $10,000 that you did not take.
Wow.
So it's not a good idea to miss it because why pay any more in fees, taxes, or anything like that than you should, right?
Yeah.
Proper planning.
Before we continue, I just want to clarify. So RMDs are on accounts that are not pre-taxed. And so like a Roth IRA, would that have RMDs because you don't pay taxes taking it out, right?
Good question. You are correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So same thing with like an individual account or like a non-qualified account. There's no RMDs associated with those either. Okay. So typically just the IRA or 401k is going to have that RMD associated with it because it is pre-tax contributions.
Okay. That makes sense.
And one of the things that Grant and I do here is we often, when we first look at a retirement plan, even if they have years, let's say they have 20 years, you know, they're in their 50s, and we look at their plan and we say, yes, you know, you made your income goal or you have not. We always look to the future to see what happens to their RMDs based on the first rough idea, the plan that we put together. And if we see that RMD, a significant increase from what they need from their spending, that is something that we try to hone in on to reduce, because what do you think taxes are going to be in the future? You know, do you think they're going to go up, down, sideways? I mean, no one has a crystal ball. Tax code is written in pencil, but more than likely taxes, because we're in a low environment, are going to be higher. So if you don't take this money and then all of a sudden later down the road, you have $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 more of taxable income coming and you're in a higher tax rate, well, that wasn't a very good idea to defer that then, was it?
Not at all.
You know, we get a lot of people who come in and with no education, I mean, no disrespect, but they've never looked into the retirement planning or all the other things. And they say, well, I don't need this money. I'm not going to touch it. And then, you know, we see not taking any distributions. And at age 73, 75, they're required to take $70,000 because they hadn't touched it based on the accumulation and growth. And so that's just not a good plan in any retirement. So that's one thing that we help people out is to levelize that tax strategy by, you know, taking some money before you need to.
Right. And then like another monkey wrench to be thrown in there is IRMA penalty, you know? Right. So with RMDs getting up to that $70,000-$80,000 range, you could jump up into the next bracket, being that IRMA bracket, and you're going to be paying more for Medicare Part B than you really should be. Right. Yep. We don't want to have those extra monthly premiums on top of the original 185. But yeah. So, you know, reducing that RMD down the road can significantly make your plan better.
Yep.
You know, and then another thing to look at too is, what do you want your legacy to be? Mm-hmm. You know, that'll help us depend on what we want to do with the RMD too. So, I mean, if they want to leave a legacy goal, you know, converting some of the IRA or pre-tax investments to Roth will make their legacy goal better as well, because that money going to the beneficiaries is going to be tax-free.
Right. And not only that, like if there's two spouses, if we've converted some, it's going to be better for the surviving spouse because they're going from a married filing jointly to a single, and you experience that tax. They call it like a widow's penalty because your tax increases the following year because of that. But also to the fact that the way the beneficiary is for like a non-spousal beneficiary, if your children, let's just say, inherit your retirement accounts, they have to spend that in 10 years, which you wouldn't think is a big deal. But let's just say you predecease, you pass early and you have $1 million in a pre-retirement account. Well, that's $100,000 each year of taxable income on top of whatever their income is. We have a lot of clients that come in and say, my kids don't really need it. They're making good money. Well, if they're making good money and now they have all this extra taxable income, how much of that are they actually going to get? So it's kind of twofold. Like what we try to do here is we try to help protect, in a sense, that survivor spouse first from that single filing tax bracket. And then also to the children, we'd rather leave them, you know, tax-free money if at all possible, so they don't have to worry about those RMDs and that 10-year spend down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the other question I have is, so to go back to when you take these out or when you basically pay the taxes on them, Grant, you mentioned most of our listeners are going to be at the 75-year age cap, I guess, or at that age. And correct. So is there a certain time in the year that they have to do this?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, typically, like if you're looking at the like 2025, there's not typically like a perfect time to take it. You just want to make sure you take it before year end. Now, when we're doing our planning here, let's just say they're getting close to RMD age, but we're trying to reduce that RMD down the road. You know, we kind of look at it as you're either going to convert it or spend it by year end. And so what that means is, you know, either we're going to convert into Roth or you're just going to spend the money to not have that higher RMD. So to your question, kind of got off topic there. There's not really, you know, a plan or like best option to take it in the year. We just got to make sure we satisfy it by the end of the year.
The only way I will add to that, though, is it depends on honestly what your plan is too, though, because if you like, there are clients because of that IRMA penalty, which is the extra, they call it a tax. We call it a penalty. The tax on Medicare Part B premium, where the more money you make, the more you actually have to pay for Medicare Part B based on your income, not just, you know, who you are. If you're going to convert on top of RMDs, you actually have to satisfy your RMD first before you can go ahead and convert. There's a lot of order and rules regarding retirement accounts that most people aren't aware of. I think I mentioned before I went to an Ed Slot training for 2 days and they talk about order matters. So if you don't have any other goals other than we just need to spend it, what Grant said is perfect. But if there is more things that we're trying to do, like we have a couple clients that we're really hemming and hawing, like do we do some large conversions, pay that IRMA penalty for a few years and convert as much as we can to get out of that for the future. And if we do that, we have to make sure we follow the right rules, which is satisfy the RMD, done. Then we can go in and convert to make sure it's clean for the IRS. So that would be the only thing, is if we're doing something extra, that would be an add-in. But otherwise, yeah, like Grant said, in the beginning of the year, we always talk about it. And at the end of the year, we execute, because if we do it in the beginning of the year and life happens and you do something different, well, it just derailed whatever we just did. So that's typically how we do it. But you'll hear people who said you got to do it when the market's high or market low. You know, hear all this nonsense, but it's got to be what works with your plan, you know, and taxes is a whole nother level besides investing.
So for right now, we are recording this, you know, at the first week of October. And so kind of what you're telling me is that now is a strong time to connect with a financial advisor and go over those RMDs, because you're getting close to the end of the year. And, you know, there's so many aspects that you just mentioned. So I think now for our listeners, it'd be a great time to touch base and go over that plan with your financial advisor.
Exactly. And there's different rules as far as like what you can aggregate and what you can't. And I think that's a big deal too, because if you have five IRA accounts, you know, you technically can aggregate them unless they're a certain type, which means if they're 100,000 in each one, you could pull all of your RMDs from one account, right? But if you have 401k plans or any other employer sponsored plans, those cannot be aggregated with any of the other ones. So you need to make sure that you're doing the math as well on the plan. And honestly, a lot of the literature that we read here as advisors, like the company is required, like they tell you the dollar amount. They're not required to make sure you take it, but they will tell you what that dollar, but they actually tell us that we need to double check that math to make sure nothing's missed. You know, so we always pull an RMD report at the beginning of the year and we check based on the plan if they're already taking income or not to make sure. And then we follow up by the end of the year, we pull it again to make sure we've satisfied it, because we put it into, you know, our reviews with our client. This is what it is this year. You're satisfied, or we need to do this. But there's lots of different technicalities aside from just knowing what's my previous year imbalance and how much do I need to take. You know, so it's worth visiting with an advisor, because if you have, like, we run into people so many times that have so many accounts all over the place, and that's such a headache.
It is. It's tough to even, it's tough to manage it all, right?
Because right.
Like you said, that could be a 401k plan, an IRA plan, but then there's an RMD associated to both of them. Mm-hmm. You know, how much do you take?
And so, which one do you take it from?
Exactly. I mean, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we had a client come in last week that we've already taken, you know, roughly about $45,000, and she still showed that she still had an RMD left. Mm-hmm. And so that just means, you know, there could be a small calculation that's off in their software that we just have to double check on, because right. We should have satisfied it.
Exactly. But that's what we're doing here to help, is to make sure that there's no issues with that.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just a good thing to make sure every year you're satisfied.
For sure. Is there anything else that you guys want to add?
I think we kind of covered it. I mean, Basically, like, yeah, I don't know what there is.
I mean, the factor always changes as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, the goal is to just spend all your assets before or with life expectancy. Mm-hmm. You know, it always changes. But other than that, Uncle Sam wants to collect his taxes.
Yep.
looking at just RMD as a whole, I could see them extending out that RMD age again at some point.
Which to me is, in my personal opinion, is stupid. Like, why would you do that and make a bigger bubble later down the road? Like, we would just continue to do what we do now and slowly take it each year, because that just makes no sense.
Right.
But they like it because you're going to be in a bigger tax bracket when it happens. So, I mean, I guess that's my personal view that.
Just let it grow and get bigger and bigger, you know, then Uncle Sam, hey, have a little more.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Well, and the other thing too is a good reminder to our listeners that are on the younger side is, you know, the difference between tax deferred accounts and, you know, paying the taxes up front. And so this is a great reason why a Roth IRA, you know, Roths, stuff like that is a good option, because then you're not, you know, these RMDs are not applicable to you and you don't have to pay those taxes coming out of it. So there's different types of accounts, and we've explained that in previous episodes as well, but maybe reconsider, you know, how you're going about the decision making too.
Yes, yes. We just realized that we were going to talk about life long-term care this week, and we didn't write that down in a place that we kept it. And so Grant and I just had that moment like, oh yeah, that's what it is. So we're going to talk about that next time.
And you just thought of that right now?
I did just thought of it right now because she said Roth, and I'm like, life insurance is also another way to get tax-free income in retirement if you do it right.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I overfunded a life insurance policy for my child, Easton. He's 7 now. And I did it when he was 90 days old. Cause I know, you know, the back end, mm-hmm. I know this stuff. So, and I believe in it. And I just literally did, because when you were talking about Roth, I'm like, oh, this is what we're going to talk about. So next yes. week, we will for real life, long-term care. I've got it in my book and we can talk about that.
All right.
I do want to add one thing though, with Roth IRAs that Jacqueline, you're mentioning, is that they're not going to help you in this year's, you know, tax mm-hmm. bracket situation, et cetera. So I think it's best to talk to an advisor and mm-hmm. see which one is best for you. Ideally, both of them would be, mm-hmm. you know, a good choice, but you know, meet with an advisor and see what they have to say, depending on if you want to save taxes now or later. Mm-hmm. So it's all about planning for the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, before we go into our joke of the day, who wants to share how our listeners can get a hold of you?
Ah, Grant pointed at me. I was going to point at him, but I was just
seeing. I did the intro.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Well, you can reach us by calling us 701-639-7899 or going to our website, retirementresourcend.com. But I have to say the two jokes, because I did not plan for the jokes today, but my husband came in and swooped and saved the day. So I have two that he sent me. The first one, why do financial analysts love to dance?
Oh, It's going to be something about the grooves, because they can watch this, because financial analysts look at how the market is done in the last year, 2 year, 5 year, looking as a rolling 1 year, 2 year. So it's something along those lines.
They're always calculating their next step. Yeah. Okay. This one's good too. I like this one. What is a financial advisor's favorite pickup line?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are you a high yield bond? Because you've got my interest.
Yeah, you got to, yeah, those are, yeah.
Keep the save, Sean, for the day. Thank you, Sean, for that. I might have to have him get me good ones going forward, because those were pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. if he at least comes prepared, because I don't think the three of us do.
Oh, he's quick, though. I chatted him right before this. I'm like, I need jokes, please.
That was quick.
Yeah. He's quick.
And they're both financial jokes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. He's so hired. Wow. He's going to be our joke supplier for the next few weeks.
Perfect. Then that's something we don't have to do.
Absolutely. Delegate.
Sean, on Monday, you have to get financial advisor jokes.
Yes. We will remind him when yes. we're done here.
Yes. And then it brings more excitement for the three of us, because then we have no idea what's coming. So I like it.
I think so, because then we all have to. Like, yeah. Grant and I could take turns reading them.
Yeah, I awesome. Like that. All right, guys. Well, great episode. I learned a lot about RMDs, and I'm sure our listeners did too. So tune in next week with the Retirement Roundtable, and have a great week.
Bye. You as well, Jacqueline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Retirement Roundtable. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Veronica Redfield at the Retirement Resource by calling 701-639-7899 or visiting retirementresourcend.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Retirement Roundtable.
Advisory services are offered by VC Insurance Sales, Inc., doing business as the Retirement Resource and Investment Advisor in the states of North Dakota and Minnesota. Insurance products and services are offered through Fed Resource ND, an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.